J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Chef Emeril Lagasse. How you doing, Chef? Years ago, a friend of mine had worked on the air in New Orleans, and he said, you got to go to Commander's Palace. And in fact, I went to Commander's Palace, and did they bring everybody through the kitchen on the way to their seat, to their table, or was that just me?
You know, I started there in 1982. You know, I'll never forget my first time when I went through the kitchen with Ella Brennan, and it's like, wow, and look at all these great smells, and it's kind of like my mom's kitchen. It smells so good in here. But that's it. You got to go through the kitchen to get to the bar, and then you kind of wait until you get to your table. It was a great, great 7.5 years being there. And I left in late 89. Ella is still my dear friend, like my mom. And Commander's a wonderful restaurant. So New Orleans is just a great eating town.
Yeah, I had the bread pudding and everything too, which was absolutely required as your dessert when you go there. We're always making fun of Karen's cooking. And then the sports guy, Brian McKenna, didn't even know that they sell cooked chickens at the supermarket. We just told him about that about 2 weeks ago. For people who don't really know their way around a kitchen particularly well, so what advice would you give somebody who's just trying to get going and maybe trying to learn a little bit about cooking?
All right, you ready, JC?
Yeah.
Here we go. You got to have a stock pantry. And don't, like, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, don't like, try to, like, do too much. What people, they make the mistake, they don't have a food plan, and then they get some recipe, and then they, like, they don't read it, so they don't know what they're shopping for. Then when they get home, they don't know what they're supposed to cook. Relax and don't complicate it. Don't overcomplicate it. And that's what I tell people.
Thank you.
What about equipment and utensils?
You got to have a good knife, and you got to at least have a good saute pan. You know,
in my case, a good fire extinguisher.
And a fire extinguisher might help.
And a stomach
Karen,
pump.
I'm coming to St. Louis really soon, Karen, and I'm coming by. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married. So are you, but that's
too.
Okay.
No, I am too, but I'm coming by. I'm giving you Emeril 101.
I love it.
I'm going to straighten you out so you can straighten these damn guys out.
Thank you.
And let me tell you something. You don't have to, like, build rocket ships to say, bam, don't be a closet bammer. Come on out. Feel the love. That's what I say.
Thanks, Emeril. Good luck to you.
Bye, JC.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, January 5th, 2023, 41 days until Pitchers and Catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Well, the warm weather is over. We're going to be in the 40s and overnight lows in the low 30s for as far as the eye can see right now. No big warm-ups after these record-setting temperatures. Be glad you don't live along the West Coast for today and the next couple of days, really, because they're talking about maybe like 20 inches of rain. 20 inches of rain. That means mudslides and flooding and just complete total chaos. And let me just tell you something. I've been in California a couple of times when they've had really, June is really a bad month for weather in Southern California. And I remember being out there once. That was the trip I still remember. I don't remember what the movie was, but I remember I was at one of these fancy hotels in Los Angeles, and I was going somewhere waiting for a cab. I remember that. And I was like, let me take a quick whiz before the cab shows up. So I just go running into the first floor there, right near in the lobby. And I go in there. Captain Lou Albano is in there with a patented rubber band around his beard. And I was never into the wrestling thing, but I do remember him because he was in the video for Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And I was like, who is that guy? So he's a wrestling guy. I'm like, I'm not into that. But, you know, when you run into somebody like that in an unexpected place, he comes in, he's already undoing his pants as he's walking in to the men's room. And I just said, Captain Lowe! He's like, how you doing, brother? He was a little guy, but he was wide, you know. But I still remember when I went out there, I was like, jeez, the weather's just absolutely awful. And, you know, the sort of panic and just widespread dysfunction that envelops the Midwest, including a place like St. Louis, when we have snow coming in, like the anticipation of snow and then the actual storm. That's how disabling things are in Southern California when it just rains. Now, 20 inches of rain anywhere is going to be a problem. But in Southern California, in Los Angeles, man, you get any kind of rain at all. Like when I was doing a radio show in Los Angeles, I would be playing the Schnucks, but what would be the Ralph's Panic Aisle out there, except it would just be for rain. And I know that for a lot of you, especially if you've never traveled out there, that seems inconceivable, but I'm telling the God's honest truth. It just rains at all. And the whole place just kind of comes apart. But obviously, yeah, with 20 inches of rain in a place like Southern California, you're talking, you know, mudslides and all this awful stuff. It is an enormous storm. All kidding aside, this thing looks like almost like a hurricane. All right, so yesterday I get a text from a very popular St. Louis radio personality, a female, somebody whose name you would know immediately. And she said to me, oh, it's too bad you don't have a radio show in St. Louis right now, because, oh my God, I can't even imagine how funny it would be for you to be talking about this situation involving Tony Patrico, who up until 2 days ago was one of the morning show co-hosts on Rizzuto's show On The Point. And I thought about it for a little while. I didn't want to be mean, but I didn't want to respond either, because frankly, what she said to me was indicative of somebody who really thinks they know me and doesn't really know me at all. It might surprise you to learn that I don't find this funny at all. You know, the guy has except for a very, very small handful of people who are so vile and just so awful, not just as broadcasters, but as human beings. And your first guess would probably be right, Stephen D.C. But anyhow, outside of a very, very small handful of people, I don't like to see anybody lose their job. I have been in situations many, many times where I have lost my job, and it really is a multi-dimensional phenomenon that is that has nothing pleasant or funny about it. And I don't mean to amplify the importance of something like this. Okay, one of like five guys who are doing a morning show in market number 25 loses his job because he was trying to drum up a little side action for himself, or at least entertain himself. Being on a morning radio show should be excitement enough, you would think. And if you were doing your job correctly, you would also think that it would take up your time and it would take up your brain, and that you really wouldn't have an opportunity because you'd be too busy concentrating on what you were doing. I know these shows sometimes sound like it's just a bunch of people sitting around bullshitting, and to a large extent it is, but it would be much more accurate to say that it sounds like that. It isn't really that, but it sounds like that if you're doing it the right way. In other words, it's an illusion. It sounds like you just got your feet up and you're just bullshitting with your buddies, but in reality, you're actually working pretty hard if you're doing it right and if you got your head in the game. And so it's one of the reasons why I'm scratching my head going, where did he find the time to be doing this? Because if you're doing this job correctly, it requires a pretty high degree of concentration. And I could go into a whole diatribe about why that is true, but I'm just not going to do that today. So anyhow, you got a guy who is on a top-rated morning show. He's got a wife. He's got kids. Now just think about that for a minute. It's one thing, he loses his job and he's got to go home and tell his wife. Then he's got to tell his wife why. And then he's got to explain to his kids why daddy is going to be home in the morning now, and maybe why that vacation to Disney World isn't going to end up happening right now. And then those kids go to school and go out in the neighborhood, and all their parents have been talking about it. So now the kids go to school, and the kids on the bus are ridiculing the guy's kids because of what's happened. And, you know, you can make a joke, and I understand that, but I've been there before, and this is not pleasant. And it's also, there's a degree of danger involved in this, because people can come apart. People can come apart. If you work at a bank and you lose your job, especially if you lose it for doing something, you know, untoward, so what? You know, it's you and your family and a bunch of people at the bank who know about it. Big fucking deal, right? You got a high profile job and you're, you know, soliciting pictures of sexual activity from women, and that's done in the public arena. Let's just put it this way. I hope that Tony Patrico has a good network of support and friends and family and stuff like that, because something like this can produce a result that is sometimes tragic. There were a couple of people in the comment section on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, where I was talking about this yesterday, and people were saying, well, what did he do really that was so bad? I go, well, what he did that was so bad is do it in 2023, because I got news for you. Almost every male radio personality, particularly if you worked late at night, has engaged in something that you wouldn't want to see on the front page of the Post-Dispatch, all right? Jesus Christ, think about Howard Stern. That was the centerpiece of his entire presentation back in the day. You know, Howard's turned into Rosie O'Donnell right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is a very, very good interviewer. He has really, really sort of cornered the market on this thing right now. But you don't have to go back that many years to recall when Howard's show was quite a bit different and people got off on it. People thought it was the funniest thing they ever heard for Howard to be, you know, working that bogus rap, you know, trying to, yeah, he's got strippers running around naked in the studio and all this sort of stuff. You can't do that now. It's 2023. But if it's 1988, all that stuff goes on and it'd be like, you know, a big fucking deal. And you can call it, you know, wokeness, and I think the whole woke thing is a pile of crap. It's one of those concepts that, you know, inherently, you know, at its core, obviously is very good. You don't want your sister and your female cousins or your daughters or granddaughters, you know, having to deal with Matt Lauer and Charlie Rose and Bill Cosby and Donald Trump and people like that. All right, so at its core, sure, but that's not got anything to do with wokeness. That's just, you know, human decency and respect for women. And I love women, and I love pretty women, and I love pretty naked women, and I will never apologize for that. But how you access it, or in the case of Tony Patrico, how you request it or demand it, that's where the problem comes in. But I will say this, you know, everybody should, how can I say this without everybody getting mad at me here? Like, in many cases, and the many cases would not apply to this case, because Patrico fucked up. I mean, what he was doing was, you know, you can't do stuff like that. And you don't leave a paper trail or a screenshot trail. It's just sloppiness or ego or I don't know what, but it was at the absolute minimum carelessness and stupidity. But I would say in the overwhelming majority of just general like office settings, I think in many cases you should be able to ask once, hey, baby, you into this? And if she, you know, she might say yes. I could give you a long list of people you know who met on the job, and a lot of them are in media. I mean, we just had Casey Nolan and Abby Larico get married and run off together. Malcolm Briggs and Matushka Lindo, a bunch of radio people. Oh my God, the two guys I worked for at K Hits for 8 years both met their future brides right there inside the radio station. The guy who is in charge of this podcast every day, who makes this possible, he was working at a radio station. A very appealing young woman walked through the door, and, you know, I don't know, a year and a half later, they got married. They've been married like 20 years. So this happens all the time. And that's the outcome. All outcomes have to have a beginning. So at some point, the man and the woman who are co-employees at the radio station or whatever the case may be, somebody has to sort of make the first step, has to take the first advance. And in these cases, when the man made the advance towards the woman was interested and said, yes, you can call me at home later, or yes, I will meet you after work, or yeah, I think you've got a cute ass too. Okay, so in all of those cases, everything was fine because nobody objected. So what are you going to do now? Crucify some guy because he threw the line out there and the woman was not interested? Well, she's going to go to HR now because you asked? That's just not reasonable, and it's not fair.
The Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock tickets go on sale tomorrow at all the usual ticket outlets. Remember that thing we used to play with Chris Rock all the time?
I mean, I understand with some sexual harassment. I understand a little bit. I mean, some guys go too far. I mean, women. If a man is your boss and says, hey, sleep with me or you're fired, that's sexual harassment. And that's the only thing that's sexual harassment. Everything else falls under just trying to get laid. Jail for that. I don't care how hard he tries, that's all he was trying to do. Anita Hill started this whole thing. That's the whole thing. Cause it's all about looks. It's all about looks, you know. Cause if Clarence Thomas looked like Denzel Washington, this would have never happened. Never happened. Clarence, you nasty. Your fine self. So what's sexual harassment? When an ugly man wants some? Oh, he ugly. Call the police. Call the authorities.
Yeah. It's great when it turns out that the, you know, both people are interested and so they run off together. But you can't hang somebody in a public square just because the guy was looking for some and he thought, well, she's nice to me. Maybe I'll go ahead and I'll throw out the line and see if maybe we could get together after work. She says no, but you can't go to HR on that for one time. I asked. I thought she might be interested. She wasn't. All right, I'll go on with my life. You didn't do anything wrong. The president of the St. Louis Cardinals, 38 years ago, fired on one of the interns. They're married today with a whole house full of kids. This stuff happens all the time. And she was an intern. Now, let's just say at the very, very beginning, 38 years ago, he takes a run at her and she says no. Has he done anything wrong? Not at all. It gets a little more complicated when somebody's in management and now you're dealing with an intern. That complicates things a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, 98% of the guys who are in the radio business, you know, you start on your career, they put you in the all-night show. Well, they used to. Now they're just computers and there's nobody even in the building at night. But back in the day, you had a live human being on the air 24 hours a day. And so they'd say, okay, we got a job and it's the all-night show and it doesn't pay much. But you are trying to get experience and you figure, okay, I'll start in the all-night show. I'll work my way up to 7 to midnight. Next thing I'll be doing afternoon drive, maybe middays. And eventually I get a crack at being a co-host on the morning show. Maybe someday I'm running the morning show and blah, 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 blah. And that's how it goes. Well, you're sitting at a radio station, it's 11:30 at night, and there's nothing going on, and the request line lights up, and you start talking to somebody, and she sounds sort of sexy, and she might have had a couple of drinks, and the next thing you know, that happened every night at every radio station in America. We used to call them hitline honeys, but, you know, again, the pendulum has swung too far in one direction now on this whole woke thing. And eventually things, I'm sure, will normalize. But right now, people are getting way, way too militant about this whole thing. And eventually, like I said, things will ease back and things will normalize a little bit, I think. And the way things are right now, and some people will appreciate this metaphor, you're getting too many dolphins caught in the tuna net. Now, again, Tony Patrico did a lot of really, really dumb things here, some of which I've already itemized. But one of the biggest problems here, there was a quid pro quo in this whole thing. You send me, pictures and videos of you doing something with a vibrator or just, you know, take your shirt off or whatever. And there's been multiple reports of all this, including a friend of mine whose daughter was approached by him. This is how I heard about this in the first place. So when the whole thing blew sky high yesterday, I was like, well, I ain't surprised because some of us in the business have been hearing about this guy for a while now, and he got a little sloppy, and somebody found out, and you got screenshots, and there you go. But, you know, you can't say to somebody, you send me, it's bad enough that he's going, send me naked pictures of yourself. But then he's like, you do that and I will give you prizes. This is even referred to as porn for prizes. Patrico just did so many things wrong here. You cannot expect to be able to keep your job when you get caught doing something like this. But, you know, we all remember the situation with Bob Richards. And Bob was a very close friend of mine. And, you know, the ridicule that he was subjected to, okay, he fucked up. What he did was wrong. It was wrong. And I think in Bob's case, he would have weathered the storm. I think that, no pun intended, because he was a weatherman, but I think things would have calmed to the point where he would have been able to just get everything back to normal. But then Courtney Landrum and Stephen DC had to go and revive the whole thing, put the woman on the air, play the phone messages back down the phone line for the radio audience that she was playing off her answering machine, and that and a couple of other things, including getting dissed by Karen Foss, did him in, and he took the plane out and, you know, flew right into the ground, and that was the end of Bob. So you really have to put yourself in the mind of somebody who has gotten their tit caught in the ringer on something like this, and I think you've got a potentially dangerous and volatile situation here. So no, I would not have been making fun of the story. Now, there will be a time somewhere down the line where it'll be a punchline, but as they say in the comedy business, too soon. Here's another one. Brad Thompson, who made the news yesterday because he was, in addition to being a part of the Cardinal broadcast team for television, he was also doing a daily radio show along with Randy Carricker and a couple of other guys on 101 ESPN. And yesterday he says, I'm giving this thing up. I'm giving up the radio thing. I'm still going to be involved in the Cardinal broadcasts. And a red flag went up for me right away because you're thinking, all right, now wait a minute. You got spring training starting in 41 days. And now one of the broadcast team members for television says, I need to give up the radio gig, and he can say whatever he wants, that his role isn't going to be changing on Bally Sports. He might do a couple of extra games, that's that. But just because he said it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. In other words, is Brad Thompson sort of moving up the chain of command? And when I posted this yesterday, people immediately, I don't know, maybe I needed to make it more clear what my position was, what I was trying to say on this, because people say, well, Brad doesn't know how to do play-by-play. I never said, nor did I suggest, that Brad Thompson was going to be the new play-by-play guy for the Cardinals. I just said he might be moving up the chain of command. Cardinals are still in need of a replacement of Dan McLaughlin. And then other people, where there was one woman who was just, you know, like Zythron the insistent. She just wouldn't give this up. She was like, well, he could do play-by-play. I go, you know, we realize how difficult this is. This is not the kind of job where you could learn on the job. This is a primo broadcasting gig, and they're going to be looking for an experienced professional. Well, Mike Shannon did it. It's like, well, Mike Shannon did it in the 1970s when things were completely different. And he also had the entire Cardinal organization behind him because, you know, let's be honest here. I mean, the Cardinals felt sorry for the guy. Here was a star player whose career was cut short because of this, what was it, kidney disease, I guess. And they basically told him, you could slide into second base and die. So you got to quit playing. And so Shannon had expressed some interest in doing radio, and they said, okay, well, let's try it. So he's part of the Cardinal family, and so that's different. And as I said, the entire broadcasting industry has changed since this all happened. You're talking about something that happened like 50 years ago. There's nothing the same. Well, Mike Shannon did it. It's like, okay, fine. Let's issue congratulations to Brad Thompson for being the brand new play-by-play guy for the St. Louis Cardinals, because this one woman insists that he get the job and it can be done, and Mike Shannon did it. Christ's sakes. But like I said, Brad Thompson, he was another one. He was a player, very, very attractive young woman who was working in the marketing and publicity department for the Cardinals. And, you know, somebody at some point had to make that first move. And again, in this particular case, it worked out. They're married. They got a couple of kids. But what if he had said, hey, how about you and me? And she said, no, you're gross and disgusting. Does she go run into HR just because he asked one time? Anyhow, so with all that in mind, I picked up a story that may mean nothing, may mean absolutely nothing, or it could mean everything. I don't know, and I'm telling you right now that I don't know. I'm only saying that I think that if this story is true, and the story is that Chip Carey, the grandson of Harry Carey and the son of Skip Carey, who was the play-by-play guy for the Atlanta Braves for many, many years. Chip was born and raised in St. Louis, went to CBC, I believe. You know, the Cardinal organization likes that. They always like that. And again, as the story goes, Chip was possibly kicking the tires here in St. Louis sometime in the last couple of weeks, and there is speculation now that maybe that would be the direction they would go. As you know, I'm sort of pulling for Tom Brenneman, the guy who got fired in Cincinnati a couple of years ago, but Chip would do an excellent job. Chip did the Cubs games for WGN for a couple of years back in the 90s. He called the Kerry Wood game, the 19 strikeout game, and he's an excellent play-by-play guy, and obviously he's a legacy. Now, is the story true, and was it much more than him just being in St. Louis for the holidays, which is also a possibility? So as I said, it may mean nothing, it may mean everything. I don't know. I'm just telling you, this is what I picked up. But I've said all along that the Cardinals probably already know who they want, and the deal may be very, very close to being done. We're 41 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Jupiter, Florida, so you might want to get moving on it. But as I said, I think that they've probably known for a while who the choice is going to be. They're just not telling us yet. And this is the other thing that just cracks me up, because every one of these radio stations, these sports stations, the newspaper, all these guys, everybody's got a Cardinal insider. Let's check in with our Cardinal insider. Well, it's really interesting that none of the Cardinal insiders are telling us shit right now. And it is amazing when the story finally is announced, everybody gets the goddamn thing at the same time. So your Cardinal insider was so inside that he got the press release from the Cardinals like everybody else. And I'm going to tell you something else about this situation with regard to Damar Hamlin. If he comes out of this induced coma intact, you know, there's been no brain damage, there's been no other damage, and they just slowly bring him out of the coma, and they're like, you know, Damar, do you know where you are? You know, all that sort of stuff. We were in the hospital, collapsed on the field. You've been out for like a week. How do you feel? They better make sure that he's in real good shape and that the heart is perfect before they tell him that his attempt to collect about $2,500 for his charity that buys toys for kids in the Buffalo area, that attempt at $2,500 is now over $7 million. You don't want to have to revive him again. Are you going to be hearing about this? Prince Harry's got a new book coming out. He says Prince William once physically attacked him when they were arguing about his relationship with Meghan Markle. He says William shoved him to the ground, but later apologized. All right, late night tonight, Savannah Guthrie, Hoda Kotb, Colin Quinn on with Jimmy Fallon. Laura Dern pops up with Kimmel. Colbert has got Chris Wallace, and Jordan Peele is on with Seth Meyers. Details on the Jeremy Renner situation. Apparently, they're now saying that his upper torso was crushed, the right side of his chest collapsed, and he bled heavily from his head. It was like a 20,000-pound snow grooming machine. He was trying to help out a neighbor and slipped and fell, and the thing ran over him. So he ain't out of the woods yet either. Stephen Colbert last night.
On Thursday, New York opened its first legal recreational marijuana dispensary. Before this, the only place to get weed in this city was anywhere from anyone at any time. That's what the Statue of Liberty's burning up there, baby. Now that weed is legal here, the official slogan is changing from the city that never sleeps to the city that sleeps so much better now that it started taking half a gummy at bedtime. The first official dispensary picked the perfect time to kick off sales, exactly at 4:20. Nice. They took inspiration from the neighboring sex shop that opened at 3:69. That means, don't know what that means. Tons of people came out for the weed store's opening with a line of hundreds snaking around the block. Of course, that line moved a lot faster once the guy in front realized it was a pull door. Weed isn't the only drug you'll now find your parents doing with their friends, because this week, legal use of hallucinogenic mushrooms began in Oregon. So, for my Oregonian viewers, allow me to say, you and I are passengers on the same spaceship of human experience, propelled by compassion, love, at the rhythm of a flower's heartbeat, also pet the dog. It feels really cool. The new measure specifically legalizes psilocybin magic mushrooms, not to be confused with other magic mushrooms, by which I mean all mushrooms. They grow in the dark. They taste great on pizza. Some even look good wearing a vest. Here's how it'll work. As of right now in Oregon, anyone over 21 can consume mushrooms as long as they're supervised by a state-certified facilitator and a licensed service center. A licensed service center? Is this taking mushrooms or getting your tires rotated? Wait a minute. What if the tires are staring where they are and the rest of us are rotating?
Birthdays today, January Jones from Mad Men, 45. She was with Jason Sudeikis for a while. Bradley Cooper, 48. Marilyn Manson, 54. Carrie Ann Inaba from Dancing with the Stars, 55. Pamela Sue Martin from Dynasty and the Nancy Drew Mysteries and a movie they did about John Dillinger called The Lady in Red. I used to date a woman in Michigan who looked just like Pamela Sue Martin. And she is 70 today. Ted Lange, Isaac the Bartender on the Love Boat, 75. That is the correct pronunciation of his name, by the way. Diane Keaton, 77. Charlie Rose is another guy. Charlie Open Robe Rose, 81. Robert Duvall, a badass. Godfather, Apocalypse Now, MASH, Untouchables, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Natural, Days of Thunder, Sling Blade, The Apostle with Farrah Fawcett. That was a good movie. Duvall is 92 today. I interviewed him once. Big, big thrill. Sonny Bono skied into a tree and died in South Lake Tahoe, California on this day 25 years ago today. He was only 62. And Tug McGraw, better known as it depends on if you're a country music fan, then he is the father of Tim McGraw. If you're a baseball fan, he was a pitcher for Philadelphia and the Mets. He died of brain cancer on this date in 2004. He was 59. Tug McGraw was a funny guy. Tug, what do you play better on, grass or AstroTurf? And he says, I don't know, I never smoked AstroTurf. Tug, what do you think of the Phillies' chances going to the World Series this year? I think it's dependent upon a couple of key plane crashes. Like I said, funny guy. We lost Jerry Berger 2 years ago today, and Victoria's Secret brand CEO Amy Hawk has resigned less than a year into the job. Ironically, she was given a pig slip. God, oh man, that was what word am I going to get? Lame? It's like Wahlberg and Ferrell doing their dad jokes thing. That's the cue to exit the stage, Snagglepuss. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, November. Where am I? January 5th, 2023. 41 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We are here every weekday morning right about this time. Email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Please spread the word. We are here every day. And in the meantime, beating this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.